Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this August 6th, 2025. I have your host, James, here, trying to figure out what month it is. We are joined by our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Big shout out to them. Go ahead and go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and subscribe to their page. And be sure to go there to check out our interview today with our friends over at the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We got our good friend, Sean Becker, in with us right now. Sean, good to see you.
Great to see you, James. Always a pleasure to be here.
I am just all tongue-tied today. I was late last night doing auditions and rehearsing all this and directing a play, and I've just been so locked into it, and I apologize to you and the audience and everybody. I got to get my mouth together. I'll have you do all the talking today. How's that sound?
I'll try my best, but I'm sure I'll go down the same path as you. I mean, as I did today, I came an hour early because I had it wrong on my calendar. I did something yesterday similar. So, hey, we're all on the same page.
We're all doing our best here. Mm-hmm. I know that you have a number of different places you want to go. Where do you want to start?
Hey, football season started yesterday.
Yes.
You know, all the high schools started practice and everything. And so, you know, good luck to all the especially local football teams, high school football teams out there that have, you know, started that official practices. I know some things have changed with the WIA, and it's such a commitment to kids, you know, any sports. It's just a huge commitment, and, you know, just, you know, obviously football's in my heart, and just wanted to throw that out there and, you know, wishing Tony Viola the best of luck. Great friend of mine gave me the opportunity to coach for him for 10 years. And then, you know, great, you know, good luck to the new coach, you know, Mike Krenz. Got an opportunity to meet him, and he's still giving me the opportunity to coach, you know, on a flexible level. We'll see where that, what that appears for me. But heart's always going to be with Lincoln High School football, and wishing them the best of luck this year, you know, with the season. So it'll be a I'll be a part. I know that the back-to-badge game is still going to be on the schedule with Marshfield. Mm-hmm. So that'll be something that'll be definitely that everybody should get the opportunity to go to that game. Again, just wanted to start with that. You know, best of luck to Tony, and best of luck to Mike and the coaching staff as we move forward in the football season. It also means the summer's over.
That's a quick wake-up call.
And you know, with a lot of the sports now, you know, my nephew Carson Herbs, he goes to Spash, nobody get mad at me, but he plays baseball, and he does the school baseball and then also the club baseball. And they got the travel. He's quite a good athlete. And he's traveled, you know, through many areas of the country. Like, they were just in Myrtle Beach at a tournament, and they were very competitive on the team he's on. But I bring that up, and he just got done with baseball Sunday, and then football starts Tuesday. There's one day of summer, and that's just, you know, for a multi-sport athlete, it's really tough. And if you see somebody that an athlete, no matter what level they're at, playing three sports, that says something about that kid.
It's my nephew.
My
brother's son. Mason's amazing. They're an amazing little kid.
Yeah, and I tell him, don't give up on any of them, because, you know, that's going to end, whether it's at the end of high school, or you might get the opportunity to do something in college, play, you know.
Yeah.
And any extra curricular activity in high school is so important, you know, because it helps with the development of, you know, being social, becoming a leader, and learning, you know, bottom line. So, I just want to start out with that, with football starting, and it's kind of exciting for me. You know, like I said, I'm very appreciative of Coach Krenz giving me that flexibility, because, you know, not only with work, because things happen whenever they happen, and then if I can't make it, I can't make it. And plus with Jordan and my grandson, you know, River, you know, he is 2 months today. He's getting fat like grandpa.
Mazel tov.
He's over 10 pounds and doing really well. We'll get to see him tomorrow. They're coming to town. They want to see one of the last aqua skier shows out on the river, and, you know, with Jordan's history being part of the team, and now she gets the opportunity to travel with River because he's a little bit older. So,
When you were touching on sports there, I any opportunity to kind of bring it back to this, I always appreciate. You know, in the Midwest, we take sports real serious. We love to win, and it's so vital to us and important to us, whether you're talking about your pro team or your local teams or your local high school alma mater or something. But I think most sports fans, and the majority of them, understand that sports is so much bigger than wins and losses.
Yeah.
And the percentages of kids that play high school sports that go on to college or college on to the pros, and those numbers dwindle each more time, but the skill sets, the things that they learn in high school sports, they take that with them forever. And I mentioned, for all the things I've mentioned with this, I don't think I touch on this nearly enough. There's a lot of kids out there that were like me. If the audience can't tell, I'm horrible at meeting people and talking to people. I'm not really great with it. But when I was in recess, the first grade school I was in out here, they noticed right away how fast I was. I'm like, oh, we're picking him in basketball. We're picking him in football. And all of a sudden, I started making friends.
Yeah.
Sports gave me that. Sports helped me have that. There are so many other kids out there in those similar situations that, you know, it's not easy always to pick up a conversation with somebody at any age. You know, as adults, we struggle with it in an elevator. But, you know, little kids, it's not always easy for them. Sports really gives an avenue for that, along with all the other, you know, important things that it can teach, like cooperating with other people and, you know, listening to rules and working within them and so many other aspects that sports gives.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, it's, you know, going back in my life, I'm getting pretty old now, but, you know, I don't forget those opportunities in high school and even getting the opportunity to play, you know, college football. Yeah. Those are things that... and you nailed it. The friends that you have, they seem to, that core group seemed to last forever.
Yeah.
High school and even in college. You know, just a couple days ago, I was in a group text message with some of my college friends. And, of course, they're still poking and teasing. Yeah. And now with social media, you know, some of my friends like to save pictures. And then I'm going to say they probably get modified a little bit, you know, with this IA stuff. And I'm like, let her rip. Have fun. Yeah. Don't worry. I will pay you back. And that's all part of it.
Revenge is a dish best served.
Yeah.
When it comes to Coach Biola as well, I did want to touch on that and thank him for his many years dedicated to this community, certainly as a coach, but as a teacher. And, you know, even I've mentioned before my interactions with him, and he never coached me, but always great to me. And I actually had him as a parenting teacher and was fantastic. And at a very difficult time in my life, too. But Tony took a real, I don't know why, but he took a liking to me. And other than trying to get me into track and field and some other things relentlessly, was really, really great. So way beyond the football field, his impact has been felt.
Well, look at his son, Drake. He's a teacher up in Rylander and a football coach. And Drake did a really nice social media post on Facebook about something that, you know, and he's going to be a young parent soon. Mm-hmm. And recognizing, you know, his wife, the spouse, because once football season or any season comes around as a coach, there's a lot of time you have to put into and who suffers probably the most.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's not the right word, but, you know, you're going to be gone. And then you have to have that spouse, you know, pick up the slack at home, the parenting and all that because of that dedication. And what a really nice thing Drake put out there. And I know Tony is very proud. Mm-hmm. Tony and Tracy are very proud of him. And he's going to do great things up in Rylander.
It's great to hear the back the badge game is going to stick around too. That's really, you know, when a new coaching staff comes in like this and it's local, I like to, you know, not bug them right away with my questions, let them get settled and all that. I was really curious. Those are one of the questions I had, was if that was going to stick around. And off air, I'll be honest, I was going to ask you if you were going to still coach or anything.
Yeah.
So it's great to hear. It's really good.
Yeah, it's just, and I was very upfront with Coach Krenz. You know, he met with all the current staff, and I just said, hey, this is where I'm at in my life, and the new thing is being a grandparent. Very, very understanding. So I appreciate that. You know, and I didn't want him to hold back and not hire somebody on my account. I mean, you need to do what you have to do, and I'll always be supportive of this program.
I wanted to get to this. Didn't want to come out the gate with it, though. But, you know, letting you guys look behind the curtain a little bit if you don't get to see the videos at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, which I encourage you to check out. Sean brings in a great list of things to talk about. You fill this hour really well, and I appreciate that. You've done that for years. Way above and beyond. I really appreciate it. every once in a while, our community has a question, yeah. or our community has a something that they are asking about. And since the last time you joined us, we've had some news come out and some different reports. And I think a lot of our community has been interested in certain parts of it. And the ACLU has a new report on a rising number of county sheriff's offices working with ICE and mm-hmm. the government department ICE. It finds that sheriffs of Kewanee, Outagamie, Washington, Wapaka, Winnebago, and Wood counties have begun participating in some of these programs. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the jobs of every American citizen, being in this country, being a part of this country, I believe you are to work with the individuals of this country, whether you agree with them or not, whether you like them or not, or anything mm-hmm. like that. We all got to work together. We all got to live together. If you're going to be a part of this,
right.
this experiment, which it still is, it's a young country. We are a teenager compared to Russia or Asia or any other place out there. One of the jobs of its citizens comes right down to the same job of a parent or a guardian, making people feel safe. Making people feel okay. Regardless if you are here illegally or not, I don't believe that it is our job to make illegal aliens feel scared or mm-hmm. to make anybody who feels like they might be thrown into that group scared. That's not law. That law doesn't do that. Law's not supposed to put fear in people. Mm-hmm. It's not, at least to me, my interpretation of it. I'm not at all trying to say like I have the Webster's dictionary definition in mm-hmm. front of me here, but the way I've always interpreted it, somebody who believes in the law, believes in these things. I watch a lot of Westerns. I don't want to live in one. Laws are important, and we need people like you, right. Sean, there, keeping that line.
Yeah.
But this topic has freaked out a lot of people to the point. I am a third generation third generation immigration family. I've got relatives that have been in this country and going like back. And even they were a little afraid when they got into situations where they were getting asked questions about mm-hmm. this just because they had a little bit of a darker skin. And this is in Chicago. This is not here. Sure. This is in another state and everything, just to be fair and to be upfront about that.
Yeah.
But the concern, if I'm hearing it, I can't imagine that you haven't heard it.
Oh, absolutely. Just the... start off with ICE, and they're a division of law enforcement at the federal level, obviously, and the partnership that we have now hasn't changed in my whole career. What's changed is the enforcement level on the federal side of things. It didn't matter who was president. We've met with ICE people. We've had ICE holds on people who have committed crimes in Wood County. And then what happens is really there's been no change for us, even with these partnerships and the other counties that have agreed to work with ICE. All right. There's been, to me, that was no change. It was no change with our department throughout the years. Our protocol is the same. If somebody gets arrested in Wood County for committing a crime in Wood County and they are an illegal alien, all we do is notify ICE. Then it's period. Then it's up to them if they want to put a hold on them. And it's still pretty rare. I mean, right now, the person that I can think of right now that has a hold on them in our jail committed a homicide in Marshfield. All right. And I'm not willing to, once that person I'm confident will be convicted of the homicide, I still don't want them going into the other country that they're from. They need to spend the rest of their life in our prisons. All right. And that's for... I guess the key thing that people should understand, especially in our community, is if somebody commits a crime and they get arrested, they're going to get due process like anybody else, whether they're illegal or not. All right. The only part of what we do, and we've always done this, is we notify ICE if this person potentially or is illegal. And then ICE decides whether or not they want to put a hold on them. Some things that I've learned throughout the process, because there's a lot of attention to this, is with the partnership with ICE, liability-wise, if you hold somebody for any time frame after they have been through the process with, the legal process here locally, it could be a liability issue if you do not have that partnership. And say ICE says, hey, we want to put the hold on that person, and you have this time frame of 48 hours to come and get them. Even if you don't have that partnership and you hold them, you could get sued. So I looked at it as, okay, there's somewhat of a liability aspect for the county, or we release them. And I'm going to tell you what, ICE is another law enforcement agency that we've worked with for many, many years. And if they put a hold on them, all right, we will hold them for 48 hours, come and get them, and go from there. But the key is, the key element is that the person committed a crime here in Wood County. All right, and then we're going to notify the other law enforcement. It's just like a warrant from Portage County. Hey, once that person's done with what's going on here, they put a hold on them, they come and get them. That's the way I look at this, all right? But people should understand, and I don't want to create any fear in anybody. It's really if that individual commits a crime here and gets arrested, all right, then if you are illegal, it's our obligation to let ICE know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know what, I'll be honest, if somebody's committing crimes here in Wood County, I don't want them in Wood County.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
If they're illegal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's really, and that really hasn't changed in my whole 30-year career.
It sounds like that nothing has necessarily changed with this. It's just this, a lot of people are finding this out.
Correct.
Like, the information has always been there. This hasn't really changed. They just didn't know it.
Well, I think it's politicized at a far larger level than ours, than what we're doing right now. And I think that, unfortunately, strikes a lot of fear in people, whether you're illegal or not, you know, and I understand that. But I want you to know that the Sheriff's Department, we aren't knocking on doors and checking people's status.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have time for it. And if we just arrested people for being here that we think are illegal, yes, it is a crime. Our jail would be probably full within a day, all right? But what we're doing is this, the same old SOP is if somebody gets arrested that's illegal, we notify ICE, it's up to ICE if they want to put the hold on them. I think what people are seeing are what's happening in other states that is concerning them, and I understand that.
Yeah.
You know,
when you promote fear-mongering, when you push this, when you try to scare people that much, it's understandable, I think, that people freak out over almost anything. When you've already set that bar, you've already created that vibe in your country with your constituents. So it's understandable that there not only would be concerns and questions, but downright fear about things. And I want to be really, really clear about something that I don't know if I was or anything, because I can't think of anything in this world that that gets under my skin or aggravates me more than a child being abused. And yes, I was a child of abuse. I admit that. So I'm a little biased on this topic. And I know there are a few things in this world I have more empathy for than that. Unless that child grows up and hurts somebody else, I lose all empathy. You don't get to hurt other people. You don't get to do that. You should know better. All of those things. I want any person that wants to be a natural citizen of this country, I want them to feel welcome. And absolutely. I want them to feel like they have an opportunity, unless, of course, they commit a crime and doing those things. I am not in favor of anything like that. And it's ridiculous to me that we got to clarify that stuff in this day and age. But you do. You do. You got to cover that. You got to cover all bases nowadays. I am not in favor of that. I am a child of immigrants. I am never going to be against immigration or anything like that. And I don't believe that most people are. I think that a lot of this gets caught up in a lot of things. And again, going back to the fear, I think a big problem for a lot of this with this topic is not enough people are informed. Not enough people know how this goes.
Right.
I'm not speaking about the whole state, but I'll talk about Wood County. This is not a county that is run on fear. This is not a county that its leaders go about and try to scare its community. So I feel like that, you know, that's part of the reason why we are also able to have these kind of conversations too, and be very transparent about the whole thing. I do, before we wrap up today, though, Sheriff Becker will always, as he does, always give out information on how to reach out to him and that, and if you have other questions.
And we've answered, you know, the questions that have come up, and I've been, you know, forward with everybody. This is the biggest thing is, for me, there hasn't been a change throughout my career in how we've handled this topic. You know, it's just unfortunate that at a different level in other states that you're seeing, you know, shown that is making people afraid, and that's unfortunate, you know. But, no, feel free to contact me anytime. You know, you can call me at the Sheriff's Department, 715-421-8715, and we can chat some more about it if you wanted to.
We are excited for National Night Out going on tonight over at Winter Field. Final home game of the season for our Rafters. We appreciate all these players and coaches coming to town, entertaining us and bringing us some great baseball all season long. And you're going to be down there tonight?
Oh, absolutely. Right, we're going to be there at 3 o'clock. And we're going to bring our MRAP, some other, you know, some other specialty vehicles. It's just a great partnership with the Rafters organization and, you know, owners Joe and Vince Jr. Fonte, who I've known for a long time. My first job as a 16-year-old, their father, you know, God rest his soul, gave me an opportunity to work for him at Furniture and Appliance Mart. Yeah. So I worked there several years, going through high school and college, and have a strong place in my heart for the Fonte family. And so it's really neat that they own the Rafters now, and then they jumped on board having National Night out there in conjunction with, you know, the last home game. I think that's just what a great way to, you know, get people to come and see great baseball and get the opportunity to see all your first responders locally here. So, yeah, great event. Please come out tonight and hang out with us and then enjoy some baseball.
The other day we had Wisconsin Rapids Police Department member Matthew McCoo joining us, and Matt was great. We talked a little bit about this. I encourage you to check out that interview, everybody. One of the things we talked about is kind of going back to a conversation, one of the earliest ones you and I have had, of taking on the opportunities to build that bridge between community and officer, to any opportunities to show the human being behind the badge. Sure. And something that Melissa talked about a little bit earlier today, and she was at last year's National Night Out and everything, was the opportunity for you guys to just, not that you necessarily can take the time off or anything like that, but that you can be a bit of a citizen, that you can be a bit of another person just walking around, getting ready to enjoy a baseball game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's great weather. So,
we got lucky there.
Thank you to the Rafters organization, the Fonte family, for sticking with this and making this an annual event, which I know is just a great thing for our community. And one other thing to bring up about the Rafters organization, they've got a concert coming up this Saturday, and Joe Fonte reached out and said, hey, can you at least throw that out? And I'm like, absolutely. I mean, this is a great thing coming up with the glam band.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s music, man.
Oh,
kinda,
yeah.
They got my stuff.
They got the teased hair. They got everything. I watched a video of them, man. They really are. They got it down, too. Yeah, they're good. They're talented.
Yeah, so that sounds like a great time this coming Saturday, just to continue those community events. And then donating back to, I didn't know a ton about they're donating to.
Really good cause there.
Yeah.
I have it over here, I think.
Oh, Folds of Honor.
There we go.
You know, for...
I'm going to be kicking myself all day.
Me too.
That. I knew it was right Folds of Honor.
Me,
so I knew it. It just didn't say.
On me.
But a really great organization of people.
Yeah, you know, helping families that lost a loved one that protected and served our country. Mm-hmm. You know, what a great thing to continue to, you know, you go through the whole season and then you... Hey, it's not done yet. Let's take an opportunity here at the stadium to do a fundraiser for something that, you know, we tend to unfortunately forget about our veterans too much. Mm-hmm. And here's something that they are bringing forward that, you know, the families that need it.
Talking with Jake Allseason, assistant GM over there, and Ken and some of the others over there, we've been very honest, all of each other and the whole community. This season hasn't gone the way we wanted to, wins and losses wise. But going back to this again, we all also understand it's bigger than wins and losses. What the Rafters mean to this community on an economic level alone, we could spend time talking about. But even beyond that, giving us a chance to have events like this, hosting things like this, putting into the community the way that they do, it means something. To have this team here, it means something that not everybody's got a Northwoods League team in their town.
Nope.
We're very fortunate with that, and all the more fortunate because a really unique thing about them, they are the only Northwoods League team that owns their stadium.
Yeah.
And so they can do things like this. They can open it up to the community much more and everything. Now, they don't have to do that. I don't think it would affect their attendance if they didn't do that kind of stuff or, you know, be involved with the community, but they do. They go above and beyond. It reminds me very much of Culver's and some other businesses out there that don't necessarily have to advertise as much as they do, but they do to put back into communities.
Yeah.
That's the definition of buying local, supporting local, and really keeping up with that. We're gonna have a fun time tonight at the park. Get there one more time for the summer.
Absolutely. And you know, cheer on the team, and then shout out to Culver's, Rapids Ford, Furniture and Appliance Mart, and of course the Rafters to make that concert happen this week to put up the money for a community event for all of us to enjoy and then give back to a strong cause.
Go to rafterbaseball.com to get those tickets for the Glam Band coming up real quickly here. You want to get those tickets, and they got VIP tickets available for it as well. And of course, as we wrap up the season here at WFHR, every Rafter hit, pitch, and win right where it belongs at WFHR, where it's always been. Join us as we got games coming up for you. I don't know when people are listening to this podcast, so I don't want to start giving times and everything. So wait a minute, I missed the game.
Yeah, we're not live anymore. So yeah. That's good because we can edit.
Yes, absolutely, which I drastically need. Yeah, you guys have no idea.
You and me both.
This interview is a lot worse than you might think, actually. I edit, I work all these things in magic. Sean, I know you had some other things you wanted to touch on.
I want to do a shout out to my friend, Mike Tronto, who's in the hospital recovering from surgery. He's had a tough couple of years. Started off, a couple of years ago getting leukemia. He's in remission through that, had some stomach issues, went through that, but, things are looking really good for him. He should be out of the hospital either today or tomorrow or sometime relatively soon, but just a good friend going back to sports, and that's how, you have the friendships of the teammates, but look at the parents that get to know each other. And that's how Julie and I got to know Mike and Allison, because their daughter, his stepdaughter, played soccer with Caitlin. Mm. And then just traveling around the summer together, you meet new people. And, we've known them now for like over 20 years. He's had a tough couple of years, but things are looking really good for him, and looking forward to him to get out of the hospital. So Mike, thinking about you, always been praying about you, love you, and I know you'll be out soon, and we'll be hanging out really shortly. So mm-hmm. I wanted to bring that up.
Wishing him well.
Yeah, a thing to bring up that I know that's been somewhat of a topic locally is the Safe Haven Baby Box. We had a tragedy, and I don't like talking about it, but I think I need to, in 2019, where a homicide happened up in Millidor, where an infant was basically murdered. And that was a situation that we investigated, and it had a big effect on our department. It had effect on medical staff in Marshfield, and even me personally. And it brought up the Safe Haven law that's been in existence, I think, since 2011, somewhere around there. Don't quote me exactly, but it basically says that if you have a child that you give birth to and you do not want that child for whatever reason, you can go up to a police officer, a firefighter, or to the hospital and basically turn the child over and no questions asked. As long as the child hasn't been abused or healthy or, going along that path. And then what evolved from that is the Safe Haven Baby Box, where it's basically, you can say it's a box that, is secured, at a public facility that is run, has staff 24/7. And so that, I think, started in like 2021 before the tragedy that we had. But I know there's been, discussion about it now to have this this box at maybe one of the local fire departments here in Wisconsin Rapids, and that's been discussed a lot. But people should be aware that we've got a lot of people that have passion for it to see it through, just to have that one extra step. Part of the requirements to have the Safe Haven box is, the facility that it's located at can't have cameras on it because, it has to be some degree of anonymity. If I can say that word right.
And nicely done.
It was close.
See, it's close enough.
But, at a location, like I said, that's, that has to be a man 24/7. The location is something that I strongly support. But just looking, working through the logistics of where that should be. So I'm pretty confident that somewhere in Wisconsin Rapids, we might see that happen in the future. And I think that it's a good thing, it gives, when you have a harsh, terrible example to speak of and, you want to react, unfortunately, to the level that to be most proactive. And I'm very happy with the people, Jeff and Penskover from County Board, and he's on City Council, really having the passion to see this through, and seeing the City Council yesterday talking about it, how can we work this out? Maybe it'll be with the fire department, but To see something come through for it means a lot to me personally, just because of what our community and our department went through in 2019. It's something that I'll never forget in my career. You know, I'm not going to talk details, but it's just something that, you know, you have those positive and negative highlights through a career. And that's one of those really tough ones. But the positive is seeing, you know, community members moving forward to push this through. You know, where can we get this? Just so it's, you know, out there. Do they get used very often? No. But if it gets used once, it's paid for itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, bottom line.
When it comes to, we you know, we cannot stop past tragedies. We cannot prevent, you know, they have happened already. So I think a big part of life is figuring out silver linings, figuring out what can we learn from this? How can we make it from not happening again? That's the definition of what we're talking about right here. And it's not a comfortable topic, but that's all the more reason why I appreciate you willing to bring it up, get into it, and the passion behind it. I feel for you and that staff and the people and the individuals involved in that one from the medical side and everything, all the more, again, reason why to you guys talking about this and bringing awareness to this is important for the rest of us. That's be on the lookout for that. And here's hoping that it never gets used, of course, like you said, but that's insurance. You know, yeah. I'm not trying to be cold about this or be flippant at anything, but that is the definition of insurance. So it's what we're talking about here.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Sean.
Yeah. A couple other things. Hey, the TV show Cops is going to be coming in. I don't know if I brought it up last month or not, but we're going to be doing episodes here in Wood County, primarily in the jail. So I went to train with somebody out in Georgia a couple of years ago and just maintained that relationship. And he reached out saying, hey, Cops is looking for, more of a corrections side of thing. I'm like, whoa, we got a perfect opportunity here with the brand new facility that we've been operational now for several months. Things are going really well. We're getting more and more efficient. I'm like, yeah, I think we can do this.
Oh, so, interesting.
So it'll start in September. And I didn't realize that they're going to be here for a couple months. You know, I thought it was like, okay, a week or whatever. But they...
I imagine. Yeah, to be able to get enough material enough and choose what's worth it, what's not.
And I told them that, hey, the jail is yours to go around and, videotape along with going on the road as well. You know, if they want to break a little bit. So I thought that was something really cool because, you know, I like to reminisce about... When I was in college, and I'm not going to say when because people figure out how old I am, but when the TV show Cops came out, I was like, hey, my Friday night, 7 o'clock, all right, I'm watching. And it had an influence on, what I was seeing. That's something that I wanted to do in a profession. And I was talking to the producer about that and how cool it was that they wanted to choose us to do this. So it's a little bit, personal, but I think it's big picture wise, it's a great opportunity to highlight, what our county did with our new facility. So that'll be happening coming up in September, and they'll be here for probably about 6 weeks, it sounds like. Hmm. And then, we'll get some footage in there that not only Wood County will see, but the country will. So,
One of the things we've talked about this with Lance a number of times and some other individuals, Discover Wisconsin, other ways for your state to get out there and promote that state and towns to promote themselves and everything. And I seeing something like that, that's another thing that does it or, intrigues people about a community like ours or a town like ours and want to learn more. And the opportunity for more and more for everyday citizens to understand what it is like a day in the life, and the more we create that and more information we have of that, the more empathy that is created, the more that is understanding is created, not just with citizens and law enforcement, but hopefully with law enforcement and citizens and vice, it goes both ways, that people are working together as communities. We only get by together. Nobody's getting through this game without working with each other. Everybody needs a hand up. Sometimes everybody needs somebody looking out for them. That's what I'm talking about here. A show like that too, when Sean brought that up, I want everybody to be honest with themselves. Immediately that theme song popped in your head. Like, you didn't even finish that word and it was like bad boy, it was just popping in your head. It happens. I wonder if they're going to keep the theme song. They got to keep the theme
and
song.
And part of it is the showcase what we've done on the mental health side of things. Yes. Because that's going to be something that I'll require, at least interviewing some of our staff that have specialized in that, and then the things that we've been doing that we know are very important. We talked about them all, but it's just I'm looking forward to it.
One other thing, and I didn't mean to cut you off, Sean, or cutting into you what you're saying there. I didn't mean to do that, but something that I have to think about. It is on a hill that I will die on. I'm really tired of news the way it is being delivered these days, and it has been for a very long time. Where there are plenty of great good stories out there, but every single news broadcast, whether it's on TV or radio or what have you, has to start out negative. It has to start out dark and everything. And it's not to say that those stories should not be covered. Obviously, they need to be covered. But the way that you begin a broadcast is very important. And coming out the gate negative and dark like that, it creates an atmosphere for the whole entire show. It creates an atmosphere sometimes for people in general when it comes to it. The more good stories we can cover, the more good stories we can get out there, it's important. Shining a light on inside that jail, letting people see that. The idea, too, that how many people in the West Coast I ran into that think that everything past Vegas is, you know, the boondocks. And, well, we're living our lives on laws from the 1800s or something. Shining a light on the fact that here in central Wisconsin, we are on the forefront of mental health with our officers in our community. I think that would be very surprising to a lot of people. That the things that this show could do, I think that's really cool. That's interesting.
No, it is. It's funny you bring up Vegas. I was just there a couple days just to, I don't know if that's a place to go and relax, but but I met Julie there for a few days. But the reason why I was out on the west side of the country is, and I won't go into all the details, but I just want people to know the Dieter Weeks case is something that we're continuing to work hard on. And, we our passion is to solve that. And we had a tip come in that brought us to the Arizona area. All right. So Lieutenant Scott Goldberg and I went out. And as we talked about when the tip came in, the information came in, who should go? And I volunteered myself. I didn't say I was going. You know, we sat down as a team and said, you know, I do have an investigation background, and with Scott's passion for the investigation, you know, we talked. I'm like, I'll go unless, you know, there you feel that, you know, Scott, any of our other investigators and administration team thinks otherwise. And they came to the conclusion that I should go. So we did go out there, and I saw we're not making an arrest. I'm going to make that very clear right now. But we did have information that we felt it was necessary to follow up on. And we went out there for a couple days to interview some people, most likely cleared some people. But it's something that is a case that we're working on. It's we have the passion to want to solve it. I can't guarantee that we will or won't. But what the people should know is we're working on it, and we will continue to work on it. Scott is doing a phenomenal job, not only just leading all of our investigators, but on his investigation skills. It's been fun to watch him work, and then to be kind of his sidekick.
Awesome.
it's something. But people, should know that that's something that somebody knows something, and that's kind of how this information came forward. So that gives us hope that we might find some conclusion to that tragedy.
We certainly can't guarantee a solved case, but can guarantee that it remains open.
Guarantee that as long as I'm in the position I am, that we'll be working on it as hard as we can.
Yeah. Right on.
Yeah.
Scott, I know we don't have that much time left. Did you have anything else you wanted to touch on?
Big shout out to Quentin, our chief deputy. He doesn't have the most glamorous job being the second in command in the department, but he does. He has done a phenomenal job throughout the years being in the position he has doing our budget. That's not fun.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But it's extremely important, not only to our department, but to the county and our taxpayers. And he, every year he does a phenomenal job, very open-minded, communicate what are the needs, what can we afford, you know, things like that, you know. And I just want to give him a huge shout-out. He also does a lot of our grant writing. You know, we'll sit down and look at things that, hey, what's available? You know, what would be a great fit for our department that we could build upon? You know, like the stuff that we got through the Legacy Foundation, COPS grants. We added a drug investigator years ago. And there's two things that, you know, he wrote grants for that are huge, you know. One, I'm very confident that, you know, we'll probably get this grant. If we don't, we're going to still make something happen. is getting a school resource officer up in Auburndale. Mm. People should understand in Wood County, that's ours. That whole school district is the sheriff's department. And, you know, there's been incidents up there, and the Auburndale School District has invested in this, you know, to cover part of the salary and wages for a deputy. And we put in for a COPS grant to help cover some more of it. We should find out, I would hope, by the end of the month, since the school year is coming. And then, yeah, there'll be a commitment from the county. You know, so, and that's something that Quentin wrote that grant, and I'm confident that we got a great shot at it. And what a great partnership. You know, it's unfortunate it took this long to do this, because the Auburndale School District isn't that small. You know, they've got a pretty good sized population of students and staff there. And there was an incident with a gun there last year that really opened a lot of people's eyes. So I think we've got a great opportunity to move in a partnership to have an SRO there within a month or so. And then we also did a co-responder model. I know that we've got some skin in the game with Wisconsin Rapids Police Department with their, they have a social worker they got through a legacy grant. Well, we've got a different grant through the state that's we're going to hire a social worker under the sheriff's department. That's the primary focus will be drug abuse and mental health, because we already know that it's very, very connected. So we got awarded that grant that will cover about 2.5 years of funding. So we'll hire that person, which is exciting to me. Yeah. You know, I did get questioned, oh, why are you hiring a social worker? Is that to replace a law enforcement officer? I'm like, absolutely not. It's to follow up on what we deal with on those kind of situations and connect people with stakeholders while it's happening and freeing up our law enforcement officers. Hey, if we've got a welfare check that we initially go to and it could be drug related or not, we make the scene safe. Our law enforcement, our deputies can leave. The social worker can come in and work with that individual, along with Alicia Bundage, who's our mental health deputy. You know, so it's exciting to me for both of these opportunities. And circling back to Quentin, that has become, he doesn't like to know it. I don't know how much he enjoys writing grants, but he's taking it on and he's doing a phenomenal job. You know, so a huge shout out for him doing our budget, you know, maintaining the budget every year, and then taking a look at being open-minded on these grant opportunities that could fit our community. And he's just done a phenomenal job. So I want to do a big shout out to him.
Grant writing is nothing to take lightly either. I've tried to do a little of it myself, and I've had to bring in experts real quick. it's so important, and how those are written, how those are done, they are the difference maker of getting that grant or not, having somebody good doing that. And also, just to piggyback on what you're saying, he has done a great job putting up with my questions. Quentin has been awesome. Shout out to him, and appreciation, and a shout out to the whole department.
Thank you.
As we're wrapping up, I always like to find a lighter moment for us to wrap up on. Sheriff's deputies in Florida had an unusual day on the job when they were called in to wrangle an escape emu. This emu was not only elusive, but very fast and apparently very thirsty. They ended up catching it because the bird needed to stop and get a drink, but that's the only way they were able to catch it. Have you had any animal, like crazy animal interactions? We got deer, we got all kinds of things that run into buildings all the time around here, but have you run into any of that? Have you had to work with any of that?
I don't know if it was an ostrich or an emu. In Grand Rapids, over not too far from the town hall, they had one get, and this is several years ago, get loose, so something very similar. I didn't respond to it, but of course we all heard about it.
Yeah.
I don't think that the people that, you know, had those animals are in there anymore. But yeah, periodically that we'll get those calls of a snake or, you know, a non-normal pet that might get loose. And then of course, we'll get the first call and have to try to at least make the area safe. And then you scratch your head like, hey, how are we going to do this?
Yeah. It's just, your training, maybe.
No, but we have our humane officer, Brooke. She does a great job, too. And that's probably one of the first phone calls. And then, you know, okay, what should we do? And then, you know, kind of, and then find a place for him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's happened,
you know, with reptiles especially, you know, and you know, you gotta follow through. Okay, if we pick up the animal, then what?
I'll never forget when I first moved to town here, I was riding around with my buddy. We're riding bikes and we go around this corner and I'm like, did I just see an ostrich in Wisconsin Rapids? Like, well, what's going on here? I'm like, oh yeah. He's like, oh yeah, it's an ostrich farm. Like, it's nothing. Yeah. Like, wait a minute, I've never seen this before, right? We were late for baseball because I had to stop and see this. I did not believe that there were actually ostriches in Wisconsin Rapids. But the farm was there for a while. Always good hanging out with you,
sir. Yeah, no, thank you.
If people have follow-up questions they'd like to reach out to you, how can you
give me a call? Again, 421-8715, that's the office, and we can chat some more, or feel free to stop by.
And, of course, keep in mind, you can go online and check out more information about our Sheriff's Department at woodcountywi.gov. They got a bunch of great sections there on that wonderful website. Head on over there, woodcountywi.gov. And as long as you're pulling up websites, go to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. It should already say that you're subscribed. If you're not subscribed, keep up to date on the great things that they are doing over there. Big thank you to them. And, of course, a thank you to you again, Sean. Say hi to the staff over there for us.
Will do. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you. You be safe out there. And thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate you. Appreciate our friends at Crockett Septic for another edition of the Rapids Report.